Hey, what's going on? In this podcast, we sit down with Taylor McClatchy. Taylor is a Muay Thai fighter with a 47-6 record. And because fighting is not the most lucrative of endeavors, she also works as a lab technician. To give you an idea of her fighting record or fighting resume, she has fought for Glory Kickboxing. In 2019, she won silver at IFMA World's Martial Arts Mastership. She was the Muay Thai Canadian National Champion, and she was the IFMA Muay Thai American Champion. That list goes on and on and on, but I think you get the message. During the podcast, we speak about her experience as a Muay Thai fighter. We speak about her job as a lab technician. We go into specific, and it is quite funny, so stay tuned. We also touch on philosophical subjects because, you know, that's kind of what we do. You can find us at Podcast RJL on all platforms. So like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of our episodes can be found at rjlp.net/episodes. Peace! What's going on, guys? We are at New Era Combat Sport in Canada, and we are talking to Taylor. What's going on, Taylor?
Not much. How are you?
Fuck, I'm awesome. Living the dream, as I was saying earlier. Living the fucking dream. This being able to drive around and talk to interesting people, it's a fucking blessing, if you ask me.
And me.
You are a crazy person.
No.
That, oh yeah, man, I'm saying it to your face right now. We've known each other long enough for me to know that you're crazy. But I think it takes madness to be fighting.
Definitely. I think you have to be a special kind of crazy.
I think anybody that steps in the ring, I don't care that you're amateur, you're professional, if you have the cojones to step in a ring, you are a special individual.
It's my favorite, but it's absolutely insane, so... What does that mean about me? I don't know.
I think last time we saw each other was at Nationals last year, right? In November.
It was, yep.
And you were crazy. Yeah, that you had crazy eyes.
That was probably the craziest I've ever been in my whole life, so.
Really?
I mean, I broke my hand and then I punched a girl in the face with it for 9 minutes. So.
But you won, though.
I did.
Who's the person? I feel bad for that girl because you fought her a few times and she's just, and it seems like she's showing up knowing that she's going to get her ass kicked.
So that fight was for the Team Canada spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was qualifying a weight class below.
Oh.
But nobody registered for her, so she fought up.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like a really big 125-pound girl. So
you're what, 5'10", 5'11"?
No, like 5'9".
5'9"?
5'9", yeah. So, like, she signed up and she wanted to fight. They, like, asked me to fight so that she could have the experience. And I was like, but, like, do I have to?
Yeah, do I have to kick her ass? I don't think that's an experience she needs to have.
And then I broke my hand and Jeff convinced me that I should do it anyway and just, like, be a badass.
That dude is a fucking crazy person.
Oh, yeah. His words to me were, if you're not going to birth babies, this is a chance to experience some pain in your life.
Did he really say
that? He said that to me, yeah. It was great.
We're talking about crew Jeff Harrison.
Yeah.
For people that don't know this man, I've known him for, goddamn, more than 12 years now.
Long time.
He is a crazy person, but he is also the reason why I love Muay Thai.
Yeah.
That that comes from him.
Yeah. I mean, he convinced me to do something that was, like, the coolest thing I'm ever going to do.
Say it again. Repeat what he said.
Oh, I don't want to. He's going to get mad at me.
No. I don't care. I can deal with him. he told me earlier, he's like, you need to come to Orleans. Jeff Chan can't be the only person to have fun. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
He will fight you.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he wants. We haven't fought in years, so. So we'll fight about this. That's fine.
It's fine, yeah. No, he said that if I wasn't going to birth babies, that this would be a chance for me to experience some real pain in my life. So, I broke my hand doing a burpee, like just a straight burpee.
Wow, that's
like on the Thursday.
That was an intense burpee.
It was on a medicine ball, and I just like.
Okay, you're an idiot.
And then it went crack, and he
just before Nationals.
On the Thursday, and I fought the Sunday, And he yelled at me. He's like, Taylor, like, finish your fucking round. Like, let's go. So I had to finish the, like, finish the round. I was like, my hand is wrong. Like, it's wrong. So I went and got x-rays. I was like, yeah, it's broken. And he's like, well, so you going to be a bitch or not? And I, so we showed up. I cut my cast off. I cut the cast off and then,
You fought with a broken hand?
Yeah. And then I needed surgery because I messed it up real good.
Is it good now?
Yeah. Not bad.
Oh, you have a little lump there.
Yeah. It's not quite right. Like, it doesn't quite do what it's supposed to do, but
yeah.
It's a cool story to tell when I'm old.
You know, it's, I've broken I was in a fight outside of a ring and I punched somebody and they ducked. I caught them
outside of a ring.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I caught them right on the top of the forehead. Look at the knuckle, how.
Yeah.
It unfortunately doesn't come back.
No, I'm okay with it. It's a little one. I don't need it.
It doesn't hurt though. It doesn't hurt anymore. And no. I'm like 10 years older than you. So I'm worried about 20 years from now. I'll probably remember that.
You'll be able to feel when it's going to rain. Like,
oh, it's going to be humid today.
Yeah, it's damp.
So how has it been? Because we were just talking about that before we started recording, that you fucking fought 50 fights in 5 years or some stupid like that.
Pretty much, yeah. About 10 fights a year since 2014, and 2020 is a write-off, so.
But how is it mentally? How are you feeling? The break, do you miss punching people in the face?
I mean, I loved it. I love that I got to have 50 fights in so little time. And like, I traveled, I fought some of the best girls in the world at the IFMA events. Like, it was great.
How was that? Since you're talking about IFMA, how'd you find it?
It was really good. It's a really fun experience. And I think because I did a couple events, I won Pan Ams, and then like they invited me for an event in South Korea. They're like, hey, do you want to go to South Korea for Labor Day weekend?
Sure.
I was like, you're going to take me to South Korea for Labor Day weekend? Like, yeah. Sure. I don't recommend going to Asia for like 3 days. It will fuck you up.
Oh, you mean the time delay's fucking you up?
Yeah. I woke up at like, it was like probably 10 p.m. Korea time. And I stood in the window and it was pitch dark outside trying to convince myself that it was nighttime. Because I was like, yeah, sure that I'd missed my fight and everything was wrong. My phone was lying to me. I was like, I don't know what time it is.
It's called circadian rhythm.
Yeah. And it was wrecked.
Yeah, and it takes a time. I think they say it's above a week that it takes for your body. I'm pretty sure it's
3 days
seven
is not enough.
No.
Not enough.
And it's not like you were fighting in there either, right? So,
yeah.
Pussy.
No, it's fine.
I can hear Jeff. Oh, you fucking pussy.
But yeah, I went to that event. I fought Nili Block, the Israeli girl. She's won IFMAs for, I think 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
Last time she lost was when Valentina Shevchenko was fighting IFMA events. Like, that.
Fuck, it's been a while.
It's been a minute since she's lost. Anyway, I lost to her. That was terrible. But she's also.
Was it a bad loss?
It was probably the most decisive loss I've ever had. Where, like, I got in there and I was like, this girl is just doing better than me.
So you knew in there that she was better?
Maybe mentally, that's not a good thing to know.
Yeah, probably
but
not.
She was just, she was so sure in everything that she was throwing, and I was not sure.
She made you hesitate, too.
Yeah, she was like bigger and stronger than me. I fought up a weight class for that.
Okay, because I was going to say, it's hard to be bigger than you at 125 pounds.
At 132, she was like pretty solid.
132?
132, okay. Yeah. But it was really cool to do. And it was, again, one of the only fights I've had where I felt like I was not getting outclassed, but like not.
She was better than you?
She was better than me. Okay. She like spinning heel kicked me in the liver and it was awful. I didn't fall down, but it was awful.
It didn't feel too good.
It didn't feel too good. The ref started like adjusting my elbow pads and I was like, oh yeah, please fix those. Yeah.
Oh, it's all messed up.
Yeah. It's so bad. Do it more.
So, but she was still, cause IFMA and the Korea event, that was amateur.
Yeah. So IFMA's technically amateur.
I don't understand that.
It's technically amateur the way that like amateur boxing is amateur. Yeah. Like Olympic boxing is amateur.
That's what I was going to say, because you can be a professional fighter and do Olympics. Like the NBA, for example, most of the guys that plays for the U.S. are
exactly,
from
but it's an amateur event, right?
Yes, I've never understood how that made any sense.
In Canada, we qualify amateurs. I had a layoff from professional fighting for, I forget how long it has to be, but then I signed a form that said I was signing myself back to amateur.
You're marrying yeah. yourself?
Because I had enough time off since I'd fought pro, I'm allowed to do that in Canada. And because I had like less than 10 fights or like a ranked a certain way. Fights. Yeah, something like that. So I could qualify at nationals and be part of the Canadian team.
Yeah.
But if you look at teams like Sweden or I can't come up with any names right now, but like
they're
qualifying pros. Those are just professional athletes.
Yeah.
So there's like this weird disparity between that.
Why is that though? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's just the way the legislation is in Canada right now. We can't hold professional Muay Thai fights. As a national qualifier, because we can't sanction them.
So you still can't.
No,
I thought that was resolved a long time ago.
Like we can't have professional Muay Thai in Ontario. They're having pro fights out in Alberta now.
Yeah,
like
it depends. Alberta and in Halifax and around those lines. There was a league. I don't know if it's still going to be existing by the time this whole crap is done.
But it's like this weird thing where we're qualifying the best amateurs that we have, but like. It doesn't really set us up to necessarily win.
There's a step up between amateur and professional. Let's not lie to each other.
And it depends on the weight class, right? Like, I did well at IFMA, but there are lots of people that would go and qualify as the best Canadian and not necessarily be the best Canadian in that weight class, right?
How do you explain that?
Like, we're not qualifying Ashley Nichols. Like, we're not bringing like our professional athletes. Like, if you think of our professional like male athletes that we have as Canadians, some of them are really, really good.
Yeah, but they don't.
We could send those people.
Yeah, but
we don't. Because it's not Olympic sport, it's not worth it. There's no payoff for.
There's no money there, right?
There's no sponsorship. It's not Olympic level, so like no one's paying for you to go. You're like I paid to go to Thailand to win a bronze medal, which was cool for me. But if you're already set in a professional career, and you've like already made your pedigree, why would you do that?
Yeah, there's no, we're very bad in Canada when it comes to sponsoring athletes.
Yep.
We will sponsor a whole lot of crap that we shouldn't be paying for. But when it comes to health, when it comes to activities like those, for some reason, our government is completely out in the field somewhere, fucking smoking crack, whatever the fuck they do. I just don't understand how we are not, if you have a chance to represent your country, and especially when it comes to a sporting event or an intellectual event, you should be pushing that as hard as you can.
Yeah, because like the event is the Olympics of Muay Thai. If we had Olympics, that would be it.
Exactly.
So like it would be nice to represent as well as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've never really looked into it because it's just always been how it is.
Plus, you're too busy training.
Yeah,
your job ain't to ask fucking questions. Your job is to be in shape and fucking fight.
Yeah, if someone's like, hey, do you want to go fight the best girls in the world? It's going to cost you this much money. I'm like, okay, cool. Hi, Visa. How we doing?
Yeah, it's
like,
it's unfortunate, though. It's unfortunate because you still need to work.
Yeah, I do.
So explain that since we're talking about that. Because I know what you do. We're talking about it. You're a mouse killer.
No. PETA's gonna call in. They're gonna be really mad at you.
And you guys need to look at her face when I said that, because just so you know, I haven't ate meat in like 10 years. So for me to call you a fucking mouse killer is awesome.
I am a lab tech at the hospital.
Yep.
So I work in fertility. We're looking at early embryo development and I get embryos from mice. So I essentially knock up my mice and then take out their embryos and do experiments on the embryos.
So do you have to play Barry White in the background when you're doing it?
Some candles? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You gotta set the mood.
Yeah, I mean, I shoot them up with hormones first.
Do you really?
Then I set the mood.
Do you shoot them with hormones first so that they're all jacked up?
Yeah. So I inject my female mice with like ovulation hormones then I stick them in with a boy mouse.
He doesn't need to be.
He doesn't need anything. He's good to go. They're good to go all the time. He's a mouse. Like,
sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then I kill them, and that's my job.
Do you like doing it?
Murder?
I like how you went to that directly. That's not what I was asking, but
I like my job. Science is cool. Making embryos and like looking at them in a dish as they're dividing is really cool.
Oh, that must be pretty cool.
Right? Like I start with like one cell and then it divides and it divides and it like I am growing something. The actual murder of rodents is probably the worst part of my day, but
do you do that on the daily? Like daily, you guys run those experiments every day?
Yeah, so we order mice in.
Yeah.
From a company.
Oh, I know. And there's only like two or three companies that does the world for it. I've read quite a bit on that.
Yeah. So Charles River sends us our mice and
So what are you testing? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the goal here?
So we're looking at how different molecules help the embryo to maintain its cell size.
Okay.
Because basically when it's ovulated, it's in an environment that it shouldn't live at.
Yeah.
So to figure out how and why it lives there at the like basic science level in a person or a mouse. And then if you know that, you can start applying those reasons and those molecules and all that information to in vitro to make in vitro better, to make in vitro more like a person. Because in vitro rates are not, like not great.
They're not?
No, not really. I don't know what the actual statistics are, but for the $10,000 that you're going to pay for in vitro treatment, your odds are not good.
So basically, if I get you, you're trying to reproduce the best environment possible to have the embryo live in it to increase the chances of it to survive and actually come to fruition and a child be born out of it.
So if we like fully understand how it works in like in vivo biology, we can make in vitro biology better.
That's interesting. So you're really just trying to recreate the best environment possible.
Yeah. That's like steps down the road from me. I'm at basic science mouse research.
Yeah.
Several steps down is people research and then using it on people who are in a clinic.
Mm.
But yeah, that's my nerd job.
Yeah, but you kind of do look like a nerd.
It's the glasses. That's why I wear the glasses. People are like, just get contacts. I'm like, then people wouldn't know I'm smart.
It's funny, but I had one of the first bosses that I've had told me that. I used to work in a network operation center, so I'd be in the middle of a room with screens supporting customers, and he's like, you need to put a suit on, but we'll have to put glasses so that you look less aggressive.
Yeah, glasses help. I love my glasses. I get told every day that like I should wear contacts because I can't see when I'm training. Like I don't. But I've never wanted them. I like wearing glasses.
No, it suits you.
It's become a thing.
I've known you for what, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah, at least.
The glasses, I think it's good that you show, because if you guys have never seen her, Google her, look at the video. She looks like a fucking nerd. But she's the type of nerd that can kick your ass. Don't be fooled by those glasses.
I'm all glasses and big teeth.
No, but I think you have good teeth.
I mean, my parents straighten them, which is good, because when they're this big, they have to be pretty good.
I've had to spend 10 grand. All my teeth now are all nice, all straight, but I have small teeth for the size of my mouth.
I have the opposite problem.
Yeah, but I think it's natural. If you look at most dentists, look at most orthodontists, they have very, very big teeth, but you're supposed to be.
Yeah, it looks good now, but then when I cut weight and my face gets small, my teeth get bigger, and then I'm just like sad eyes and really big teeth.
Yeah, and you're all caved in around the cheekbones.
I got the horse teeth on that. It's not, it doesn't add anything to the weight cut look.
Well, you know, your boyfriend must like it.
He puts up with me, so...
Yeah, but he's probably... I don't know him, but he's
probably... It's my charming personality.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
I hope I met that person. I'll meet that person one day.
Hopefully, one day.
How does it happen with the job? How do you explain to people? Because you're lucky. I don't think you get battered that much in your fights. Like, you're mostly normally the one doing the battering on the girls.
I try.
Because I've come up to work with a broken nose, with black eyes, and I'm like, it is what it is. Like, I don't give a fuck. But how do you explain that?
Like, I work in a lab, obviously, like with a lab coat. And my supervisor is like a very nice, very intellectual man. He also wears glasses. He just like very few scientists are going to understand like elite level athletics.
Yeah.
It doesn't compute.
It doesn't make sense to them.
I'm like, hi, Dr. Baltz. Like, I'm going to go fight somebody. And he's like, but like, why? I've only had a few scuffs. Like, I came back with stitches from one of my fights.
Elbow?
Yeah.
Nice.
Where he just, like, didn't get it. But then at the same time, before I do any, like, scientific presentations, he makes sure to put, like, a picture of me kicking some girl in the face.
Of course.
Just so, like, everybody knows that they shouldn't ask me hard questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I fought a four-man woman tournament the day before I defended my master's degree. I was really worried that I was going to have a fucked up face for my defense. I didn't.
Nice.
I didn't, but I figured at least maybe they'd take pity on me if I had like a good black eye.
No.
No.
For the mistake you just made there, there's something that comes up. I never thought I'd ask this, but what do you think about men fighting women? Because the way you just said it there, I don't know why I'm bringing that up. You just made a mistake.
So I actually had this conversation.
Because at 125 pounds, you're a big girl. Like, I say that with the utmost respect. Yeah, like, I'm not saying you're a fat fuck. I'm just saying.
I'm a big 125. Like,
fuck yeah.
Especially for, like, amateur women. Most amateur women can't cut 25 pounds. It's just, like, not something that's going to happen.
Yeah, because that's what you were saying. You're 145 pounds right now.
I'm, like, a solid 145 now. Yeah. Post-quarantine. Sorry, it makes it sound like I got fat over quarantine. I got the opposite of fat over quarantine. But, yeah, I used to, like, when I was fighting 1 month and then I'd have like a couple weeks off and then fight again, yeah. I'd hit 125 and then
up and down.
But I'd hit 150 on like the fat pizza day. Oh, and then like right when you're like just a poof you're just of salt.
You're just carbed up.
Just a salt. And then I'd cut back to 125 and just like do it again.
That's brutal on the hormones.
Oh, yeah. That'll mess you up real bad.
Yeah. This is how guys end up needing testosterone therapy when they're in their 40s.
Try being female. Don't recommend it.
No, that's okay. I'm happy to be a guy.
Anyway, guys fighting girls. Guys fighting girls. I don't know. I always thought it would be a really cool thing to do because there are very few women, but women that'll go to Thailand and fight a dude.
Yeah, I've seen
it. And that's like a really cool bucket list thing. You might be right. I might be crazy.
Oh, I don't doubt it at all that you're crazy.
But that being said, you go to Thailand, you fight a man. Is he fighting you because you're a good athlete or is he fighting you because he really needs to get paid?
Yeah.
And he's not that great and no one else will fight him. So he's going to go fight a chick for money. And that's a lose-lose for him, right?
That is always what I think about that.
And I don't like that idea. I train with dudes every day. I really enjoy punching dudes in the face. Like, it's that's all well and good. But then if you're fighting someone that's only fighting you as like a paycheck because they have no better options, is that good for me? Not really. Is it good for him? Not really. Like,
but it's a lose-lose situation for a guy.
Absolutely.
Because you lose to a woman, people laugh at you. You win against a woman, people are saying, yeah, she was just a woman.
Yeah. I had a couple of fights that tried to get it set up with like, children, not actual children, but like youth fights. And I was like, that's the same idea. Like it's a lose-lose for me. I either beat up a child or I got beat by a child. Neither of those are good.
Beating up a child. Legally.
Not an actual child.
That's interesting. But so like, how do you feel about teep to the face to those?
No. like 17, 18 year olds, like they're just on that like brink of adults.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're fine. They're fucking teenager. Fuck them.
They're bouncy.
Yeah.
But like at the same time.
They deserve it. They've done something wrong. You can knee them. They're fine. They deserve it.
No.
If I would have been fighting at 17, 18, I would deserve the beating. So. Oh,
most 17, 18 year old boys deserve a beating.
But that's what I'm saying. So just fucking do it. Take it. Somebody gave you a card and said, you know what? Free out of jail card. You can beat on that child. No problem.
No. Anyway. I think it's the same idea.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to be gained from it besides a cool story. But anybody that, I think if I told my friends on the street that I went and fought a man, they'd be like, cool, badass.
Yeah.
But if I told anyone who actually understood the, the fight game, they'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
It's
a lose-lose situation. It's a money thing at that point.
Right. And that makes me feel like shitty inside.
Who do you want to fight? Is there somebody that you'd really, really want to punch in the face? And out of I'm sure, I don't care that you hate them or you, I want to know if you hate them, but yeah. Is there somebody you want to fight?
I don't really have, I've never gone into fight with that like hate mentality.
No.
Never really been my thing.
You high kick people with love?
With deep, deep affection. I've had a couple people that like talk some shit before, and I like look at their Facebook page because I got sucked into that apparently, and I'm like, oh, that's not nice. Now I kind of want to fight you.
Who's but that? Do we name names?
I got signed to Lion Fight recently.
I know. That's which is something like super I wanted cool to talk about.
And they've so I have a fight booked with them. It's not announced yet though, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it's with. They announced their Fight Pass deal and they said fight announcements are coming.
Yeah, I don't think you should.
Anyway, so I'm
as much as I'd like to, I don't think you should.
I am fighting a girl, which is very exciting. Potentially for a title.
Ah, good for you. At 125?
At 132.
Why 132? There's no 125ers?
I'm not really sure about that. I kept asking for fights at 125 because they did have 125, 122 fights at one point.
I thought they did, yeah.
But this girl needed a match at 132 and they offered me a contract for it. So I was like,
fuck it.
Especially because I've been lifting weights and like, I'm not cutting weight every month since for a year now.
You look very healthy right now. Like, much better. I like what I see a lot more than last time we've seen each other.
Yeah. So like what I'm cutting to 125 every second month, fighting up a weight class doesn't make sense. Yeah. But now that I'm settled in my like big girl form, 132 is like as a 145 pound person, 132 is a completely reasonable weight class, and I'm tall enough to fill it out. Like it's doesn't like make 13 sense.
13 pounds,
right? Like it's still a good weight class for me, especially because I'm tall.
Yeah.
Anyway, they signed a couple girls recently that I would also like to fight in addition to the girl that I'm fighting. So I have to win this one.
Like same night. I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, like one after. Fuck it. Three at a time.
Yeah. I fought a girl in my first IFMAs. She was from Belarus. Yeah. I would really like to rematch her because it's been
she was two, good?
Three. I think I'm a better kickboxer than her.
Mm.
But her whole game plan at IFMA was to grab my head by the headgear, which is really unfortunate, and knee me in the mouth, which she did very well.
Is it allowed to grab by the? That's a gray
zone.
She just
had like a really good grip on my head, and I was, I've clinched through most of my fights, so I've had an issue two or three times now where even when it's not the best option, I want to clinch people.
I've never understood that game plan coming from you.
I've
considering just, Jeff must be mad at you when you do that.
Yeah,
because you're long. Fucking Christ, use your length. Don't fucking clinch with
people. I feel so safe in clinch. I feel so safe because I'm often the bigger athlete and I'm pretty good at it.
Mm.
But then with this girl, that was not the right game plan.
Shorter?
No, probably taller actually. You're
taller than you?
Europeans at 132 are really tall. Yeah. I don't know where their weight is, but like they're so tall. Anyway, and she beat me in that fight in Cancun in 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it was a winnable fight for me. So I think that'd be a fun rematch to do as a pro. They also
She pro?
Yeah.
Is she in Lion's Fight?
Mm-hmm. They signed her to Lion Fight. Candace Mitchell's on Lion Fight. I fought her as an amateur.
That's awesome.
And I won that. So I'd love to rematch her as a pro. It's Canadian on Canadian, though.
Who cares? It's fine.
Anyway, they have a lot of girls that I would love to fight now that I can kind of see the roster. And they've signed a lot of females recently, which is also excellent.
When if they haven't announced the fight yet, do you have a date?
I do have a date.
Which month is it in?
April. Yeah, so they're doing...
Okay, so it's still a little while, isn't it?
They're supposed to be announcing the fights, or at least their first show, like today, tomorrow? Okay. I don't know. But they're doing February, March, April shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're trying to get back. They have venues that I guess have...
Where? Do you know?
I do. Yeah, I'm in Wyoming.
So it's in the U.S.
It's in the U.S. because they're still having shows with audiences.
That is so weird. That is so...
It's so weird.
I've stopped watching fights because of it. It creeps the fuck out of me.
Oh, the quiet when like UFC when they win and it's just dead quiet and they're like celebrating by themselves? It's cringy.
It's... Well, the thing is, if you're old enough, you probably are not. You fucking young person.
I'm aging rapidly, okay?
If you're old enough, you would have watched Pride FC. And even though you had 30, 40, 50,000 people in the audience, the Japanese are just so fucking respectful.
So respectful, yeah.
You can hear the cornermen. You could hear the cornermen talk to their fighters with no microphones. It's just
just yelling.
The commentators' microphones picking up the noise. But it's just weird to watch UFC with no... I understand being quiet.
Yeah.
but nobody. It looks like they're setting up in a corner somewhere. They're like, hey, let's put a, does a cage fit there? It does. Ah, let's fit there. Let's fight there.
Plug it down there. Yeah.
So they want to fight. So you're going to be fighting in front of people, though.
That's the plan. They said they don't really know how many people at this point. It depends on how things progress.
Oh, fuck.
But that there will be spectators because those are states that haven't shut down yet. So they're not going to shut down in the future. It's pretty much the logic, I think. But it means a 2-week quarantine on the way back for me.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Eh, I mean,
imagine that you're shining up your new belt for 2 weeks.
That's the plan. It's always, I have to go to my boss and be like, hi, so I'm going to go fight in a diseased place. I'm going to need 2 weeks. I'm going to need an extra 2 weeks off after.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Can you not bring the mouse home?
Yeah, my work from home is not good.
Yeah, that must make things difficult.
I mean, I want to bring one home for my cat, but I think I'd get fired really fast.
So you want to see how your cat's going to attack it?
I mean, like I just think it'd be like a nice present for him.
You know, I've owned snakes for years, and you can feed them live. It's interesting. They fucking know. The little mouse, if you stick a mouse into a predator's home...
Yeah, they know.
Oh, yeah, you can hear them scream.
Oh, God.
You can see the, because most of them are, they're going to wrap, they're going to smack the head, and then they're going to twirl around the body like a pipe, like they were pythons, right? So they will wrap, they crush.
All right.
And then they just swallow.
So I'm not the psychotic one here, is what you're saying.
I was just enjoying
nature. I kill my mice humanely.
I was enjoying nature. I just introduced nature. They met someone and in the court. It's for people that believe that humans are brutal, nature is very fucking raw.
Yeah, nature, we're soft, man.
We're very soft.
We're soft.
Very, very soft.
Nature doesn't, like, nature gets a leg ripped off and they're like, I'm fine. Man. Can't show any weakness because something else will come eat me. I'm okay.
Yeah, because you'll be left behind.
Yeah, they'll leave you behind or the predators will come get you.
Yeah, you're the weak person. You're the weak one off.
Yeah. I follow an Instagram account and it's just super, it's going to sound way worse than it is.
That's okay.
Like super fucked up animals and all the captions are like, nature is brutal.
Well, it is.
Like, and it's super interesting because you kind of forget that.
How are you supposed to remember that when the environment that we live in is 100% controlled from a device that's sitting on the wall? We can set our temperatures.
Yeah.
We never have to face true nature.
Yeah.
The first podcast I did is with one of my buddies. He's a survivalist expert. So he basically trains. He's the type of crazy person that actually goes into the woods on a weekend and just says to his wife, he's like, you know what? She's a survivalist expert too, but she's a botanist, so she specializes in plants. And he'll go and just spend 3 days in the woods by himself in the middle of winter with no shelter, nothing. He has a bit of food with him, a tiny bit of water just in case he needs it, but he doesn't use it. He'll find his own water. He'll prepare everything by himself just because to him it's a skill that we should have.
I mean, I think the average person overestimates how long they could survive at all. Also, how much they can fight. Like those, oh, like all those things. Like it's all the same, right? One. You think that you're like you're at your office job, and you're like, I could live. I could also fight. I'm fine.
No, you're
like, no, you can't do either of those things. I can't survive. I would die. That's it.
I got a buddy of mine that always. It's interesting. He sees everybody. Everybody that he has around him is because he knows that in a zombie apocalypse, they would bring something to the table.
It's not bad logic.
I fucking love it because, you know, if those people bring something to your life that is real, they'll be part of your team.
An actual skill.
Yep.
I said to my boyfriend the other day, I was like, you know what? In the apocalypse,
we would eat him. There's a lot of meat on that dude. Holy fucking Christ, is he a big boy.
I'd put the two of us against most other... Couples.
Yeah.
I think we could take him.
Yeah.
Because he's big enough and can fight that he could fight most dudes. And I'd put myself against pretty much anybody's wife.
Yeah.
Any day. So we're good. We'd be fine.
That would be, that'd be for a cool series on TV, actually. Who can which couple can survive the longest?
Some fucked up TLC show.
Yeah, that'd be great. He is, talking about your boyfriend, he is a big motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
He's, he was a bodybuilder, I would imagine. He was a power lifter.
Olympic weightlifter. He did Olympic weightlifting was his first sport.
Because he's not that tall. He's like my height, but he's like probably like 70 pounds. Yeah, so he's my height. But he's what, 260, 280?
260, yeah.
He's a big
boy. Yeah, so he did kickboxing before I met him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he went Olympic weightlifting for like many years, and then maybe in between, I'm not actually sure. And then when I met him, he kind of was dropping off the Olympic weightlifting and coming back into kickboxing. He had some fights. And
yeah. Because he's flexible, funny enough. Eh?
That's the thing.
He's able to kick somebody in the head.
He's got the mobility of a weightlifter.
Yeah.
And then had a few fights, and he got a little slimmer, because when you run as a weightlifter, you get a little slimmer.
It's not natural to carry that much body weight. Like, your body doesn't like it. But you have to work very fucking hard to keep that on.
Super hard. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm trying. I'm not Jack like him yet.
But you're always skinny, though.
I know.
You've gained weight in your legs.
I know. That's it, though. One day I'll have jacked arms.
No.
That's
genetics.
Not happening.
You can... Well, there's a little needle you can probably use that will help you, but it might not be good for your fights. I'm just going to put it out there.
When I'm done fighting, I'll just...
You just roid it up.
Get those big, beefy CrossFit girl abs. Those are the ones I want.
Some of those women, holy fuck, are they ever hot.
Yeah, see, it's like a toss-up. Some people are like, no, looks like a man, which is also like not a nice thing to say. Don't say that about people.
Did you ever notice, though, that the people that say that those women look manly are always soft as fuck?
Yes.
They're never... this is a big psychological thing. They're really... They know that those women could kick their ass. They're in better shape than them.
Absolutely.
They're manlier than they are. But that is just a question. That woman is not manly. That woman is just manlier than you.
That woman is like very athletic. That's exactly. The descriptor is athletic.
Yep.
But yeah. Oh, I was telling you earlier, you look like a man on Instagram is one of my favorite accounts. It makes me rage deeply. But it's a lot of that. People unsolicited going on to women in fitness's pages, just ripping them apart for their what they look like, whether they can cook, like all those. It makes me rage. It's the worst kind of people. But it's very interesting to read and be like, oh, these people actually exist. People think like this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it was a podcast with Joe Rogan where he explains that 90% of his comments are great, but there's the 10% that are just fucking brutal.
Just the worst. The internet's scary. People think they have a right to say things on the internet, and that's not necessarily true.
No, they do. If there's one thing I strongly believe in is in free speech. And for a society to have free speech, you need to be able to say whatever the hell you want. Doesn't matter if it's real. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. The intelligence of that society comes from who you listen to. Okay. And unfortunately, we are, instead of educating our youth to listen, because you have to listen to everything that's out there. Everything that's being said, you should listen to it. You should have the right to listen to it and to form your own opinion. But you need to know the difference between a fringe idiot and somebody that's actually...
Critical thinking. You need to be able to think critically about the information that you're being given.
Absolutely.
My other thing is freedom of expression is not necessarily the same thing as freedom from consequence.
No, so but that is not what I said.
No, I know. I know.
I'm just saying you should be allowed with no consequences when it comes to law. You shouldn't go to prison for saying,
no,
I think that all women are weak and they suck. I'm not saying that, but I'm just using that as an example.
So one of the things that this is my Instagram account, obviously. I've been following it. You have a man that's going on to women's accounts saying awful things about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like just deeply disturbing things.
Yeah, they're hurtful.
And they're hurtful. And like that's, you would never say that to someone on the street. If you said that to someone on the street, you get your ass handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then somehow this man's employer, who's a gym, he's a trainer. And he's going to women saying, like, fat fuck.
Do you know that person personally?
No, I don't. It's like,
who's the person we're talking about? Who
just
cares?
just a dude on the internet. Okay. Just this account is sharing screenshots of this interaction.
Oh gosh.
Of this interaction.
So the woman you're following is sharing interaction that she's received from that person.
And then this man, all of a sudden, his employer, they're like, "Hey, do you know that he's saying this to strangers on the internet?" And the employer's like, "What? No, we can't have that. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
Do you think that's right or wrong in terms of freedom of expression? Because you can say whatever you want. But if you're saying things that make you an asshole, do you deserve to have consequences for that?"
This is a hard one for me because I gotta say, this is respecting. But again, what is respect? How do you quantify respect is the problem. Because normally respect comes from a big attachment to emotions.
Yeah.
You can't... I strongly, strongly believe that you cannot choose the situations that you've put in. But the thing that you do control, and the only thing you do control in life, is your reaction to those situations.
Absolutely.
You putting the effort into going in a negative hole with that person. So that person dug a negative hole and you jumped in it with him instead of not giving him the attention. Somebody like that, if you do not give him attention, will stop by itself. It's like me. I like to tease people. I'm a big teaser. I like to fuck with people. I like to be sarcastic. And if you give me a response, oh, you're fucked. I'm just going to keep on pressing on it. But the day that you look at me and you just ignore my comments, I'm like,
I'm not funny anymore. I'm not funny anymore.
But it's a hard question to answer because I think that we should be allowed... Those people, should they have consequences or not? It's a good question. Because I'm going to face... I have a feeling with the podcast that I'm doing, I'm going to get in trouble at work.
Okay, yeah.
Because I do represent... I never mention my work. I will not name it, but... People at work have been contacting me saying that they're listening. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right. Because then you're still their employee. So if you're saying things that are contrary to your employer's standing, status, whatever.
Yeah.
Can they take issue with that? I don't know.
And I don't know either. To be honest with you, it's a social experiment that I'm running. No, but I honestly, I'm telling you, I started this understanding that chances are that I will lose my job.
Lose it, you think? Really? Completely?
I have very, very non-mainstream opinions. There's a lot of, I'm an extremely researched individual and I have the chance to, sorry, it's not a chance. I surround myself by extremely intelligent people, a lot smarter than I am. And I read a lot. I'm very critical in what I read and what I think. I'm very calculated on the words that I use. It's the more I do podcasts, the more I get in touch with people that are not mainstream in a way that they're critical thinkers and they have the balls to say what they want to say. And I encourage that. I encourage
a
conversation with somebody that will say what's on their mind, say it respectfully, say it properly. But one of the guys, so I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with... the guy owns, fuck, I love the name of this place. The restaurant is a Vietnamese place and it's called Pho, like Pho.
Yeah.
King. The equivalent of bon, good in English. So the name of his Vietnamese restaurant is Pho, space King, space bon, which means good. So Pho cooking. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
The backlash that he got from that is ridiculous. Like the mayor wants to close him down. He's calling him a racist. He's calling him culture appropriation. There's people from Vietnam, Laos. Facebook had to block. Google, sorry, had to block.
Wow.
He was getting 25,000 emails, texts, and message a day.
That his name was disrespectful?
Yes.
Because he made a pun?
Because he's a white...
He's a white dude. I didn't know that. He's racist.
Right. But what people don't know is that he employs 5 Vietnamese guys. All the people that makes his food are Vietnamese. He spent years not only traveling over there, but preparing his stuff. He's been doing it for a long time. He does it because he has such a great respect for the food. But then people are destroying him online. And I had him on the podcast. And you know what? I agree with what the guy does. What he says, this is why I think, and he's very known in Montreal.
Okay.
So
it's like a local issue.
Well, he's a French guy, so it's a Quebec issue, and he's very political. Like, he will tell he has told our health minister to go fuck himself live because they live in the same area. So he's like, fuck you, Arruda, and fuck you this, fuck you that. So, but that's why I mean that free speech is a must, because if people are going against you for stupid shit, you should have the right to defend yourself and have the right to explain yourself, because fucking good is nothing. That is fucking hilarious, if you ask me.
I mean, it's a great like something to get people talking, is which I assume was the point.
It's an expression in French. Fucking bon is something that we say all the time as we eat. It is really part of our Quebec, whatever culture you'd want to call it. So for him to be drunk enough one night to say, fucking motherfucker, I got it. This is why the free speech thing is a hard issue for me.
It's tough. Because some people should probably stay quiet.
Yeah.
Because they're jerks.
And it's mostly young 20-year-olds with no life, like no life experience, that they've never been around anything. Right. Like, I think it's Winston Churchill that said that in your 20s, you're going to be very liberal. And in your 30s, you should become conservative, or else you haven't learned anything.
Interesting. So I'm coming up on that.
Well, I think, and especially I think because of fighting, you have the chance to travel more. You have the chance to experience like IFMAs in Peru, right?
IFMAs.
I thought it was in Peru.
That was where we were supposed to. I went to Argentina for PANS. I went to Cancun for Worlds and Thailand for Worlds. And then we got pulled from Peru right before COVID.
What did that teach you? Because I think that one of the biggest problem with COVID is that it doesn't allow us to travel anymore. It doesn't allow us. I'm a big traveler, and I have some friends that are from all over the place. We still talk, and we met somewhere on a diving trip and just shot the shit, and we're still talking to this day.
Yeah. I mean, people ask me often, like, why I signed back to amateurs. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I went to Asia 3 times last year for amateur things. And like I paid for one of them.
Yeah.
Like I got to travel, I got to see things and like have a lot of fights with a lot of good girls. Like it was great. Traveling has been amazing. It's one of the like, best things that I've done. I don't know, for myself as a person, like I don't know. Yeah. See things, do things. It's pretty great. And then we were supposed to leave for Peru for PANS like March 13th or something. It was a Sunday.
Okay.
And then Canada shut down on the Friday, right before we left. And then by Monday, I think it was, when we would have been arriving.
Yeah.
Peru had like locked down, nothing in, nothing out. And it was a big news story that Peru had also like locked down so hard they had closed the hotels.
Damn.
So any travelers were essentially homeless in Peru.
Yeah, that's...
That was really close to being me.
Yeah, I've been there for almost a month backpacking. You don't necessarily want to be left alone in the street.
No, because like when COVID was like just starting, I was like, maybe if it gets canceled, I'll just go to Peru for a vacation. Like, time's off, it's paid for. Like,
you'd fucking love it.
Oh, yeah. You'd love like, Peru. Would have been great.
And not Lima. I'm saying like, get out of Lima.
Except then everything shut down. I would have been homeless. So I'm really glad I just went to work on Monday instead. But it's been super weird to not go anywhere.
But what do you think you learned from those travel? If there's, if you could think about all the places you've been through fighting, what's the biggest difference that it made to you? Like, what has it brought to you?
It's really cool to see the places, but I find that when you're traveling for fighting, you don't get to see as much as like in terms of absorbing like the culture and the everything, the food. Don't want to absorb the food. Go to Thailand, eat no Thai food. Go to Korea, eat no Korean food.
Oh, yeah, because you're cutting weight. That's
so sad.
True.
I ate Korean rice in the airport. That was my introduction to Korean food, was my airport meal on the way home. It was trash.
Yeah, I got it. If we compare it to our food, it's probably the shittiest food.
I mean, it was like eating, like coming to Canada and like catching a McDonald's in the airport and being like, yeah, got my Canadian food in. But in terms of traveling, like just to go with a different group of people, like traveling with Team Canada or traveling with whatever. Like I traveled when I went to Korea, they didn't send Team Canada. It was just me. They sent me. So nice. I roomed with the American girls and
who went with you?
Nobody.
You didn't have a coach? It was just you?
I Team Canada helped set it up, but I went up to the American coach and I was like, hey, I'm here by myself. Like, can you guys coach me? Like,
help me out.
Yeah, and it was great. They adopted me and a fighter from Australia who was also alone.
Yeah.
And we just became part of Team USA. It's like, that's to like just meet new people and be essentially trapped with them is pretty cool.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like go, like it's a different team every year, different people, different, go to events, start knowing people at all the events and that kind of thing. Like it's really fun.
Small world, huh?
It really is. Especially like in Canadian.
Oh, it's tiny.
I've gone to enough Canadian shows now that like, everybody. I'm pumped to see everybody now.
Yeah. You know what to expect when you go there.
Yeah. I loved like going to watch teammates fight. Like it's fun to go say hi to all the coaches from, and the team members from like wherever that you don't get to see otherwise.
You're definitely in a better state of mind. I can see it in your eyes. It's good. From the last time I saw you
at Nationals. I mean,
I was worried, but you seemed off. You were too pumped. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
I was probably
you.
Trying to make sure that no one knew that my hand was broken and was hurting me a lot. I had to shake a lot of hands. People were like, "Hey, Taylor, how are you?" And I was like, "Stop.
Awesome.
So good. And I mean, like, it's a tough weight cut to make 125 for like multiple days in a row. Because that's Nationals. You have to do it at least twice. And then any of the world events, you have to make weight every day. Like, I can make 125 as a pro. 125 as an amateur, that's like...
That's rough.
That's
right?
Rough. So, I don't know. It's, it's definitely better. Taking almost a year to train. I mean, the lockdown months were bad.
Because you weren't training at all?
I was running. I'm not a runner.
You have a massive dude you can punch and kick. He can take a kick, can't
he? Yeah, training with him is like, sometimes we train really well together.
No, he should be a bob.
Just a bob?
Oh, yeah. He's large
and athletic and good at fighting. So when we train together.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
It sucks.
So yeah, during quarantine, I was like mostly just running, lifting some weights because he's a personal trainer. So there's that. But then since we've been back and I can train like once or twice a day, but like light, with that like fun. I like training mentality versus that I have to go fight another human being mentality.
Yeah.
I started jiu-jitsu again. I am bad. I am bad at jiu-jitsu.
You don't like the ground?
Oh, no. It's super fun.
Yeah.
But I'm a white belt. Yeah, Everything I do is bad.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. It's so fun to be bad at something. It's so good. Like every day I show up to class and like the instructor says something that is so basic. Yeah. But like my mind explodes. I'm like, no way, I could do that. Whereas in Muay Thai, like...
Yeah, because you're so fucking good.
Eh? Those beginner gains are gone.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'm gonna spend weeks and weeks and weeks to work on some tiny detail that might be important, but, like, I don't feel that crazy progression where it's not like I get a PR every day. So, it's been really fun. And I don't have time to do that when I'm always fighting. I think it'll be interesting to, to have a professional contract where I'm fighting two, maybe three times a year.
Oh, what a huge difference.
Versus fighting 10 times a year is just, there's so much room for like development as opposed to always trying to make weight, always trying to be physically fit, always trying to like do those things. I can be like, okay, my weight's fine.
Yeah.
I am moderately fit.
Yeah.
Like I'm not in fight shape, but like I'm in shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can I work on to make myself technically better for the next fight that might be in 4 or 5 months? I've never had that before.
Yeah, well, it's good time then.
It's been good, and
I think you're ready for it.
Work
too,
on the like eating habits.
Yeah.
Cutting weight 10 times a year will mess you up in your head.
Oh fuck! For people that never cut weight, wow! I hear people. Oh, I lost 20 pounds. Yeah, but you had 40 to lose in the first place. When you don't have that much to lose in the first place, ooh!
I know that I was very obsessive with like, and that's why I can cut weight very well is because I'm obsessive about it and I always run. I always eat right. Like I do those things to make sure that I can get on the scale at the right weight. But in terms of being mentally healthy and like not having an eating disorder.
Yeah. That's a fine line.
It is a very fine line. So to have a year to learn what it's like to just eat, like,
To not be
binging because they're going to take your food away next week.
Yeah.
But to not be obsessive about the fact that you have to lose weight every day.
Yeah.
It's been really good, I think, for me.
Of course. But it shows, like, I can see it. Like, just the way you're talking, just the way you're bubbly.
Yeah, everything's less pressure, right? Because when there's always a fight coming up, you need your whole life to be about that.
Yeah.
Whereas that doesn't have to be this way. I can still train hard. I can still train smart. I can learn things. I can do things that I enjoy. And it's just
eat.
And I can eat food.
You can eat.
My family had pizza last night, and I had pizza with my family last night.
Beautiful.
Am I going to eat chicken and rice for lunch? Yeah, probably. But that makes me feel good. Pizza makes me feel good too, though. Like,
I went back about 3 weeks ago on calorie. Like, I count my calories again. Because I had gained about 10 pounds. And that's the difference between me having a six-pack and me having a flat stomach.
Yeah.
I don't like a flat stomach. I like to have abs. And I lost 10 pounds or so in 3 weeks.
But
I have the mentality, the scales on the counter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, everything I do. But yesterday I knew I'd be on the road because I live about an hour and a half outside of Montreal. So I did my place. I went to meet somebody for a podcast in Montreal. Then I drove 2 hours here. So by the time I got here, it was midnight. So I ate in the car. Harvey's.
So good.
I love two combos too. I'm a pig. I love that stuff.
But also when you're not constantly like dieting hard, your metabolism is normal.
But I had a protein shake.
Yeah.
For food at like 12 or 1 and I ate around 10.
Yeah.
But same thing for this morning. I'm going to have just a simple protein shake because I got a feeling that I might eat crap tonight, but my calorie content is going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because I'm playing with, I understand.
Actual moderation versus training for 6 hours a day and eating.
Oh, you can eat whatever the fuck you want at that point.
Right now I can.
Yeah.
But I know when I was doing that up and down cutting phase, if I looked sideways at anything salty, my body would be like, and I'd gain 5 pounds. And I was like, what the hell, man? Like, that's not normal. Normal people don't do this. Whereas now my body has figured out that we're not going to starve anytime soon and everything's okay.
It's a very big mental thing.
Oh yeah. It's crazy.
The, there's a question I ask all the people I get to speak to, and I'm going to ask you right now. If you had the chance to speak to your 14-year-old self, knowing what you know now, what would you tell that scrawny, tall girl there that you're looking at right now in your mind?
Oh, man. So at 14, I was a fat kid, first of all.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fat Taylor. That is hard for me to imagine.
Yeah. I was probably on my way to being a fat kid at 14.
Mm.
So I fought my first in-house, I think I was 20-ish. Yeah. And I fought at 170 pounds.
Fucking Christ. I fought at 165, right? 170. Like,
there's pictures. If you go far enough back on my Facebook, there's pictures.
Maybe that's what I'll use for the thumbnail.
Oh, God, please. A
picture where you're eating
cake
or something.
Do. Yeah, that's great. I was hardcore studying because high school was the most important thing ever. Didn't party, didn't do anything, just studied.
Yeah.
And I think I was probably kickboxing because I started when I was 13, I think.
Kickboxing,
cardio kickboxing with the middle-aged ladies, and one, and two, and three.
You learn all your techniques from there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of them. But yeah, if even just to tell my 14-year-old self what my life would be and what my priorities would be,
yeah,
I think she'd just shit her pants. That'd be it.
No, but
14-year-old me thought she was going to be a doctor. Be some sort of genius, and that was it. That was white picket fence, get married, have kids, I don't know, be a doctor. I'm like, hi, actually, you're going to get punched in the face professionally?
You're going to punch people in the face professionally.
Probably a bit of both.
Yeah.
You're going to base your whole life and your career and your future salary around whether or not you can leave in the middle of the day to go train for 2 hours. That's crazy.
Any regrets?
Not really, no. I think because I'm getting older, I'm starting to feel maybe I should. I'm going to lose my contract at work, pretty much. So I'm covering a maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I've been in this lab for 4 years now as an employee, and
that's
great.
That's a long maternity leave.
So she took 18 months for the first one, came back.
Pow, pow.
Came back just to cover enough hours to take her second 18-month maternity leave.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Taking advantage of the system.
And I get a job. And my job is very, very understanding. Do your hours whenever you want. As long as things are done,
doesn't
it's
matter.
Fine. So nice. I can fuck off in the middle of the day for 3 hours.
And go train.
To get the training sessions in, which I love. And that's always been my training strategy is just do more hours, do more things.
Yeah.
And it's worked out pretty well. So, like, I feel that I'm going to need a new job, and it's very hard to find a job that will pay you more than shift work at Starbucks that gives you that kind of flexibility.
Yeah.
So, like, do I get an office job so that I can, like, afford to live? Or do I become a bum and just fight people, which is, like, a pretty good option?
It's a conversation. I don't remember if it was recorded or not, but speaking to Crew Jeff, he runs you guys through the sacrifices that you're ready to make, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind saying does he have a suggestion for you? Is there something that he recommends you do?
I don't know how to say this, reminds me that I have a job and a relationship and a family and all those things, and that might mean that I'm not making as many sacrifices as I could be. But I remind him that I worked as a master's student for an extra $30,000 in school debt just so I could leave my lab and come train.
Yeah.
And still get paid and still, like, live and do all those things. Like, I feel like I've made those sacrifices.
So he doesn't think you make enough sacrifices is what I'm hearing.
Sometimes.
I can totally say that.
Sometimes we argue about it. But I've given up different things, I think. I just set myself up that I can have a job currently. It's what comes, like, and right now I've set myself up really well because I have a grown-up job.
Yeah. And she's making airwaves as grown-up she's saying that job. If you're not watching the
That's
video.
What people want. They want you to have a grown-up job. But it's what comes next, right? Because then once this opportunity that's been great for the past, like, 5 years is over, then I need to find something else. And I have to base my life around either career at a desk, which sounds fucking awful, or training and doing what I'm good at. And I'm not done fighting yet. I'm not ready to just, like, do the minimum to get in the ring, because that's not how you do well. That's just not it.
I agree.
I can't go from training 6 hours a day to showing up for night classes for a couple hours and that just being it.
That's the difference between an amateur and a pro.
Right?
Mm.
And I've done so well because I've always trained like a pro.
Yeah, Jeff calls you a grinder. He's always saying you're grinding.
I'm not athletically gifted. I'm not technically gifted. Like,
you worked hard.
Yeah. Some people come in, and I'm jealous of these people. They come in and they catch it. They catch it really quick, or they're just, like, super fit all the time. They can just, like, show up and hit pads. Fuck you,
Hi.
Man. You're one of those.
I've been in athletics since my whole life. I've been competing in something.
Yeah. No, I've never been that person that can just, like, always be. I'm not always fit. Yeah. I have to work really hard to be fit, and I don't show up and, like, just get things.
Yeah.
So I've just always put in more hours than anyone else, and it's, like, just slowly paid off that I've done really well with that. So to not have that option available is really scary for me.
Well, if anybody out there is looking for a fighter that can kick your ass in your office or in a lab, Taylor might be looking for a job soon.
Yeah, just slide right into those DMs. That's what all the cool kids do that.
Nice.
Yeah, hey, can I pay you to kick me in the face?
What? Maybe that's what you should
How
do.
How much are we talking?
Talk to your boyfriend, see if he's acceptable of that. Maybe that's all you should do.
Oh, he's said multiple times that I should do that.
Because
he's very secure, apparently, because he's all right with it.
So for the people that don't understand what we're talking about, we started a conversation for the podcast where women fighters get often approached by really interesting individuals wanting to meet them and get choked, get punched, and they're ready to pay for it. And I have a friend that's done it. I'm not going to name names, but I think it pays.
I think it's, like, a real thing. I think I'm
and
sure
there's no the worst part is that you're not sleeping with the guy. He just really wants to have the chokey, punchy.
Yeah.
Demolition. I don't understand what it is that goes on there, but there's no sex.
No, like, hi, can you please kick me in the face for money? Like, what? I guess so, but, like, how much money?
Yeah, exactly. I could.
Right? Like, I could do that. I do it for free off every day just to people that don't like it.
We should bring it. We just have to come up with a really interesting name for you.
My business name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the nerdy something. It has to have nerdy in it, and you have to wear those big glasses.
I fought in Argentina, yeah. and I fought a Peruvian girl, and the Peruvian girl, her coach came up to me after, or no, he came up to my coach after, and he's like, "You're a librarian. She is very mean."
God damn, she loves those books.
Yeah. You're a librarian. I was like, that's the nicest compliment anyone's ever given me.
It is a nice compliment. It means you look intelligent.
Right? It's the glasses again.
Or it was the skirt that you were wearing that day for some reason that made it look very strange.
There were no schoolgirl skirts involved.
And we are not on a casting couch.
No, we've discussed this at length. It's not one of those.
It's been a bit more than an hour. I really appreciate the time, Taylor. It was great catching up.
Anytime.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day.
Thanks, man.